Kirtley Bill is back. Isaac Rodder is back. And so is Nick Wasiliev from The Raw. I'm Christy Doran, and we're going to get through this rapid-fire edition of The Raw Rugby Podcast, preview all the Round 9 team news. There's only four matches, so we'll be able to get it through it very quickly indeed. Nick, though, first of all, how are you?
I'm very good. I'm slightly annoyed at you, Christy. I was right there with you the entire way with the tipping, and all of a sudden you've just shot away. I suddenly feel like I'm left behind in the dust. So I'm going to have to work very hard to catch up with you. But I will say, even though I've been behind and tipping has been hard to come by, it's been great entertainment for us these last couple of shortened rounds. They may have been short, but they've definitely had plenty to talk about and discuss.
You're not wrong. Yeah, just last Friday night, obviously, the Waratahs with an absolute grandstand finish with Will Harrison slotting a field goal to give the Tars a 43-40 victory, and Moana Pacifica just a couple of hours before that, a surprise win over the Reds. So I wouldn't be shocked if there's a few more surprises, because there's some tasty games ahead of us this weekend, and it starts in Suva return, but it's unusually an evening game, which I think will change a lot of things. We know that the heat, the humidity has been a massive factor right since the inception of the Drua returning to play games in Fiji, but they're unbeaten this year. They only lost the one game last year at home, and now they're going to host the Hurricanes Friday evening. There's some big team news as well from both sides.
Well, yes. There's going to be a change in the halves for the Drua. I know that the Wallabies, I think you described him as a Wallaby Slayer, which I think is a very aptly named title. Kuravoli will start return to halfback, and there'll be a new centres combination with Rabitu in the halves, as well as Kimi Valentini starting at inside centre for the Drua. It's going to be a very interesting clash. I mean, the last time these two played, it was probably one of the games of the year in 2023, with the Drua prevailing 27-24. From a kick from the sideline in the 76th minute. A lot of changes. I think Geordie Barrett, of course, will still be there. Obviously, the big omission, similarly for the Hurricanes, is Brett Cameron, who is also out of position. Interesting also choice, and I'm curious on this one, Christy. Amua and Namir will be coming off the bench, which definitely suggests that the Hurricanes will be looking to push hard and really kind of come home with a wet sail. In Fiji, try and really, really kind of bring the game to a close in the closing stages.
Yeah, well, that's how I see it, actually. I think it's probably smart coaching. It's going, you know what, the Drua, we know, we respect you, but we also realise that the Hurricanes are going to take on the Brumbies in a week's time. Here's an opportunity to allow a bit of rotation throughout the squad, some extra minutes to your regular bench players, and to bring on a guy like Asafa Uamua, who was the player of the round last week, was just into such destructive form, as well as Avi Namua. Ruben Love's going to come off the bench, I think, too. So they're going to try to lift the pace, lift their standard play in the second half, and it's going to stretch the Fijians' depth, particularly off the back of their suspensions only a couple of weeks ago against the Rebels. And that's why there's that change at number nine with no Frank Lamani there. So it'll be a really fascinating game. They've got Derelalangi coming off the bench as well, the regular skipper for the Drua. So I have the Hurricanes, but the main reason for that is that it's going to be an evening game. I just think that tips the scales ever so slightly more in the Hurricanes' favour, given that they're unbeaten, 7-7. The Drua, though, they're going to be so desperate for this one, given that they're now just scraping on, hanging on to seventh spot in the standings.
Absolutely. And I mean, the likes of the chasing pack in the Tars picking up that second Crusaders win will do them no favours. Of course, as well, Moana Pacifica, who are also hanging on by a thread. It's a battle of the benches, in addition to the conditions. As you mentioned, Derelalangi will be coming off the bench. Obviously, I think the Drua are probably wary of the fact that the Hurricanes may, you know, really utilize that bench effectively. Matawalu as well as a half option, who's has performed very well. Tarawaki as well in the forward pack. I'm going to go Drua. because something about them at home right now just is dangerous. They are a very dangerous side at home. They have put away a lot of teams. And while they're still to very much be convince us otherwise on the road, there is something about playing in front of a Fijian crowd that makes them superhuman right now. And even though the Hurricanes are ahead, I still see them leading.
It would be great for the competition if that's the case. I think the other thing we've got to consider here is the bye. We know that the Reds didn't respond well off the back of the bye the previous week. Their handling was awry. There was a lot of errors right throughout general play and stoppage too. So how do the Drua respond to having a week off? Do they come out of the blocks quickly, or do they take a little while to find their feet? So another factor that we won't know until kick off. The second match is going to be, it's probably a bit of a dance of the desperates here with the Reds and the Highlanders. Both sides kind of thereabouts. The Reds in sixth spot on 17 points. They're a game clear of the Waratahs, of course, but the Highlanders are still a dangerous proposition despite the changes that they've all had in the halves, especially. They've only had the two wins from seven matches on 11 points and 10th position. So it's a really big game for both Les Kiss and his Red side and the Highlanders.
They're both coming in terms of where the actual match and the campaign for both sides is sit. This is probably a very pivotal game for both sides when you think about it, because they're in very similar positions. Everyone's has been obviously talking about the Reds following that capitulation to Moana Pacifica last week, and the two players in McWright and McDermott now out of this clash following their sanctions. That's not the only changes, of course. Les Kiss has had to make six changes which for this upcoming clash, which I think the big one that I'm really interested and excited about is John Bryant, a very exciting junior Wallaby player who comes in to replace McWright, who I think you know, he's played a few games and he'll look very good. Kalani Thomas will earn his first start of the season at number nine. But on the other side, you've got the likes of the Highlanders, who, as you highlight, Falau Fakatava going to the bench. Very interesting choice by Clark Demeny. I'm very glad to see the likes of Ethan de Groot, who will start. I think he's probably one of the most valuable player in that side for the Highlanders, and a very key player in terms of giving dominance in their scrum. He'll be going down against the likes of Alex Hodgman and Jeffrey Tumunga Allen. So there'll be a fantastic clash in the front row there between the Highlanders and the Reds. But yeah, I find it so fascinating. These two teams are probably the sides that are right now more desperate than any to grab a win. And how fitting that this game lands where it does.
Yeah, well, I'll continue that in a moment. But it's an important one as well, because the Reds have got, this is the start of three Kiwi matches in a row. So the Highlanders this week, and then they've got the Blues next week, followed by the Crusaders away. The Highlanders, on the other hand, if they can manage to sneak one here, they've got the Western Force and Moana Pacifica to follow. So you start to think that they could themselves go on a little bit of a run. Tom Liner is back. He had a couple of weeks off. Les Kiss deciding, both with Harry McLaughlin Phillips and Tom Liner, that he was going to give them a spell, and there was a bye. So McLaughlin Phillips missed out against the Brumbies. I thought that in the end, perhaps cost them. Lawson Crichton struggling against the Brumbies, and then Crichton, and then they have the bye round, and then following that, Tom Liner has the week off against Moana Pacifica. So both of those two youngsters being managed in the early stages of their careers. But yeah, Tom Liner back at number 10. There's a fair bit of pressure now building on them. We've got Cormac Daly moving back into the second row, a guy with some good footwork close to the line, the Irishman there. But yeah, the Highlanders have got a brand new halves pair as well, with James Ascott and Cameron Miller, guys that you probably wouldn't know too much about, but you're just wondering, you know, no Reece Patchell, Falau Fakatawa on the bench. There's some big, big blows, and you would think, and some big calls at the very least here from Dermody to back in this young, these young pairs. Cotton Garden Batch is the other one at fullback, who's been promoted. He's got a good turn of speed. So, yeah, I think it'll be an entertaining game. I think the Highlanders' defence is suspect at times. It's whether or not the Reds, brand new midfield with Hunter Posami, Jordan Bataille joining him now with no Josh Fluke, who's out with a shoulder injury. So whether or not the Reds, they've been pretty good at home, but this is going to be a game that they really need to win. I think they will, but probably not by much, I wouldn't think.
I expect a win, which I know is a danger. It's a kind of a situation where if you're a side that needs to show up, they probably will look at that Moana Pacifica game and be kicking themselves for the opportunities missed. So I expect that Kiss would have fired the rockets up in training and really got them motivated for this game. As you allude to, I think the Highlanders have really missed something. As much as, you know, I think Miller has had moments of brilliance, Rhys Patchell has really gave that attacking side a lot more dimension, and made them a lot more dangerous in the back line. If the Reds are able to overcome the likes of De Groot, Plummer, and win that contest at the set piece, I can see them running away with this game. I'm definitely going the Reds as well at home. I think that they'll be really up to turn that fortune around.
Yeah. All right. We'll move to Saturday. And I'm really excited about this game. It's an opportunity for the Brumbies to test themselves across the ditch. They're going to return to the venue that they lost out in the Super Rugby semi-final in 2022. So it's the Brumbies against the Blues looking for their first win at Eden Park in 11 years. A couple of changes from the Blues, a couple of changes from the Brumbies. What are they?
Well, the first couple of changes is for the hosts is that the Blues are without a first choice halves combination, which is very interesting. Finley Christie, Stephen Perifetta have both been sidelined, which is a huge news. Which means Finocchi and Harry Plummer will start. Good news though with Tua Pilotu coming back into the side, which is very good. As well as Mark Talia, which is the big name that will strike fear into the hearts of many sides in terms of his attacking prowess, as well as Bryce Heem at inside centre. The Brumbies are a little bit more settled by comparison. Ryan Lonergan is the notable return to halfback, which I think is a very welcome return. I'm very excited by Jerome Brown. I think he's such a fantastic player, and him returning to open side flanker really gives a bit more physicality to that side, which should be very, very strong. It's a great Brumbies bench, I'm not going to lie. Fun fact, I'm now channeling my inner Tony Harper. He may be away, but the boys play away. The last three matches between the Blues and the Brumbies have been decided by a margin of 5 or less. So I think I think we have a contender for a match of the round game here. So if you are in Auckland, I reckon check this game out. But you'd think, Christy, if you are the Brumbies, you are targeting that halves set piece, that halves combination, aren't you?
Oh, it's not the worst one. Harry Plummer's really experienced guy, can cover inside centre just as well. I was impressed by Faneke. I watched him up against Minor Pacifica. I know that they're probably not a world-beating side, but they still managed to knock over the Reds, and it was their third win of the year. Those two have got a bit about them, and they've just got to play the understated roles that they often do in and around a side that has so many threats, especially in the back row, and that's why Jerome Brown is a crucial addition there, because when you've got Akira Ioane, Hoskins, Tutus, and Dalton Papali'i, that's a side that's got some serious explosiveness in the back row. I think the scrum battle is going to be a really fascinating one. The Brumbies still without Alan Alatoa. He's inching closer to his return. But if they can get at least parity there, the Brumbies, they're in with a real chance here. They've got to get make sure that their line out continues to fire. But I like the settled nature to their team. And Tamati Tua is still the kind of guy that can get them over the game line. So if he brings his hands, there'll be a real chance. So I think this is going to be definitely the match of the round, and a 6-2 heavy forward splits on the bench when you've got Connell McInerney, Blake Schott, Van Neck, Nick Frost, Tom Hooper, Luke Reimer. That's a side that's got some serious depth about them, well-managed, coming off a bye, big game for Larkham's side, because a top two finish is so crucial. We've seen it in the last couple of years, the Brumbies having to have away semi-finals. They've lost both to the Blues and the Chiefs. Here's an opportunity to cement yourself in the top two and just move yourself closer to hopefully getting a very much a home quarterfinal, but especially a home semi-final later on down the track. So big game ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. But the question is that that 11-year record that you alluded to at the start of this is imposing. And we've spoken about it. The next couple of weeks are very critical. If Australian sides, there is all the talk of improvement, but if they're genuinely serious, the Brumbies have to win games like this. On paper, they definitely have a side that could compete with this Blues outfit, and they are definitely in with a shot. But do we see them winning it?
I'm not sure. That's the $1 million. And it's almost a 50-50 one here. But if I'm Noel Oliseo, I'm thinking if we can score a win away from home at Eden Park, that goes a long, long way to enhancing my Wallaby claims. So I'm going to actually – I might tip the Brumbies. I reckon that they've got a big game in them. They've found some form. I'm not sure how the bye will affect them, but I'm going to tip the Brumbies. Not with a huge amount of confidence, albeit. last game, Western Force, the Crusaders, here's 11th up against 12th. If any of these two, either of these two sides want to have a chance in hell of making the last eight, the top eight, the knockout stages, they're going to have to win this one. But some great returns and arrivals indeed for the Western Force.
How interesting. This is probably going to be one of the most interesting cellar dweller clashes I've seen in a long time, Christy, because, as much as we have talked about the state of the Western Force, the casualty ward, and they've had to pull players left, right, and center, God, some of the names that are coming back this week do give a lot of confidence. Of course, we have to talk about Curtly Beale, back for his first game in 1,494 days, I believe that is, which is a long, long time. But, of course mentioned Isaac Rodder. I really hope he gets more time, just some good time on the park is what he needs, because, as alluded to, I think the Wallabies lock stocks are very much we could use someone like Isaac Rodder being in form. But, of course, that's not the only returns. Of course, Santiago Medrano is back as well as a certain Will Harris, who will provide an amazing physicality in the back row. Of course, Michael Wells is also back on the is back, but he'll be starting on the bench. And similarly on the other side, Joe Moody and Owen Franks, who have moved off the bench into the starting side. Which I think is a very good move. And additionally, we have Ryan Crotty, who has been moved to the bench as well. But, on paper, it looks like a really, really promising, like a lot of cavalry arriving for the Western Force. But I have a question, Christy, which is, of course, the Force have had to pull from a lot of places, but I have a huge question mark about there had been so much discussion around the side that they did so much preparation in the off season. They'd done a tour with the Cheetahs. They did the Toyota Challenge Cup. They sent players off to the NPC as well. And it kind of feels like with all the signings that they've had, that kind of a lot of the plans and structures have gone out the window a little bit. And I worry about team cohesion. That is the big question mark that is sitting around my head right now, because while the names are great, actual game time together has been quite difficult for them to come by so far this season, and the Crusaders look like the more cohesive side.
Yeah, well, it's not surprising that the Crusaders have a big cohesion, but that being said, they're still lacking a fair bit following all their departures last year and the injuries to certain members of their backline and indeed Scott Barrett too. Look, I think the Force, they're just a side that's playing catch-up and they're trying their best, but as it was put to me by one pretty prominent coach last year, not even Andon Dupont would be able to have a huge influence on the game at the moment for the Force, simply for the fact their forward pack isn't quite top-tier status. And And that's because they're having injuries left, right, and center. They probably haven't had enough long-term planning for a number of years, and they're paying the price for that. That being said, Medrano's been there for a few years. Horton's been there for a couple of years. There's a bit of experience in the second row. There's enough there if they get some front football and they bring some discipline that they might be able to challenge the Crusaders, but it's going to be a really tight game. I think the Crusaders might just have the experience. I think their loss against the Tars, even though it was another defeat for them, the Tars probably aren't as bad as what their position on the standings suggests, whereas I'd say that the Force are probably closer to that bottom two or three than the Waratahs are. So I'll go the Crusaders, but that's it's a really big game for both of them. And heading over to Perth historically is not especially easy either.
Yeah, it isn't. I'm in agreement with you. I'm gonna back the Crusaders for this one, because as much as these names are very exciting for the Force, I just think that the Crusaders are playing at a better level right now, a better level of quality than the Force are. Out of curiosity, I'm gonna have to put you on the spot here. When was the last time the Western Force actually beat the Crusaders?
Oh, I don't know if they have, to be honest. There was a game where they got very close when Matt Hodgson was still playing, but I'm not quite sure.
It was 2013 was the last time the Force tasted victory over the Crusaders, which was a 16-14 win at home. Remember it very well. First year of university, it was raining. It was a very muggy, slow grind of a game with a couple of the Force players bursting into tears after the game ended. It was a very interesting match and a very.
Well, I'm going to claim that anyway, given that I think Matt Hodgson did play that game, so I'm going to claim it. Hey, lots to look forward to. Four games this week before returning to the regular six matches a week. Strap yourself in; it's going to be a cracker. And I'm really fascinated to see not just how Isaac Rolla comes back. He's got a huge role to play for the Wallabies going forward. If he can stay on the park, he's just the sort of player that Joe Schmidt will be interested in. But I'm also fascinated to see how Kirtley Beale goes. And he's been rushed into this starting side at fullback. They could have easily gone to Max Bury and brought Beale off the bench, which is probably what I thought they would do. But it goes to show the experience that Beale brings, but also the likeable nature, the upbeat nature, and how well he's been able to keep himself physically over the last 12 months since his off-field drama. So this will be an interesting one for many, many reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, similar to the other big news, there is one thing that has been good about the Force in that they're signing a lot of players. I mean, of course, BPA is the other big announcement that was named earlier this week. I hope that there's a great opportunity for Beale to just not necessarily put all the troubles of the past behind him and just play and just be himself. And if there's one thing that he's good at, is that he can just focus on a game, on the situation in front of him, and just play. And hopefully we'll see the Beale of the past come back and have a really positive influence on that side.
Well, he is very much a heads-up sort of rugby player. Yeah, you're right. Brandon Paehinger-Mosa, 9 months in the making, that one. revealed it last year in July and only just came to fruition. That tells you a little bit about statements and teams trying to control narratives, etc. But that's a good wrap of the men's. But also in the women's, the Super W, the finals has arrived. The 5-week rapid fire competition has very much come and now gone. There's four sides left. The Waratahs women are going to host the Brumbies on Friday night at the Sydney Football Stadium. Please get out to that, support it. The Tars women particularly playing some great rugby. But before then, the Fijiana Drua will host the Western Force. The Drua kind of scraped. They weren't necessarily playing their best rugby throughout the rapid fire campaign, but they've managed to secure a home semi-final, and they're going to come up against a Force team which was busy in the transfer market before the season, and it's paid off. They've now just made the final series. So where do you see this one being won and lost? And it comes just a couple of weeks after the Drua hosted the Force at home as well.
Yeah, it's going to be a fantastic game, and caps off just a really fantastic regular season. If you told me that the Queensland Reds were going to come last at the start of this season, I would have said no way. But that goes to show that the chasing pack in this comp has truly arrived, and there are none more deserving of where they are right now than the Western Force, who I think are really highlighting, you know, a combination. They've struck that really nice balance of exciting local talent being complemented by key strong imports, which I think is the key goal that they want to try and make with the Force in general. So a good sign going forward. The Force, their fantastic win over the Brumbies late last week to kind of secure that third place. They're going to have a lot of exciting talent to bring to the front here, and they'll be desperate to make up for that loss a few weeks ago in Fiji. Trillian Pomari, of course, one of the key players of the whole competition, is a major inclusion back into that side, as well as a Japan international front rower, Mizaki Suzuki, who also comes into the side as a replacement hooker. Sarah Klein has had to leave the Force squad, she's returning to preparation for the Pacific Four series that's coming up soon. So she's gone into camp with the Canadian side. But coming up, they're going up against a Fijiana Drua side who has had a massive boost with the return of a former captain, Belita Tawaki, who has been playing for the Chiefs in Super Rugby Aupiki over the course of the season and made it to the grand final, in fact, of that competition. So, I mean, it's going to be a fantastic clash here. And I think that it's going to be a real clash of if the Force's experience and quality heads and exciting young talent coming through the ranks. I mean, we've spoken a lot about Samantha Wood this season and how fantastic she has been. But, I mean, I don't see it. And for context, everyone, this game starts at 2:35 on Friday. So check out early from work. I won't be because I'll but check out early from work to go and check out this match. I think you'll really enjoy yourselves, especially if you're in Fiji and going to Suva. But Christy, as much as I have loved the Force's run here, right now it is hard to beat Fiji in Fiji. Only the Waratahs have managed it this season so far, and with them only getting more boosts, I see the Fijians taking this one.
Well, they'll help the fact that they were 19-5. They went down 19-5 only 3 weeks ago. So the opportunity to go back, right some wrongs, learn from that experience will undoubtedly help them. But, yeah, I think you're probably right, Drua, for me. The last game at the second semi-final, the Waratahs hosting the Brumbies, it looks like it's only going to be one result here. The Tars have been on fire. They welcome back Piper Duck, and they've got some serious pace out wide and the likes of Maya Stewart, Georgina Friedrichs, of course, but Lane Morgan, who's been there controlling proceedings at halfback as well.
Yeah, it's the Waratahs have been on fire this season. And not only have they been on fire, they've really taken they've overcome some very strong opposition, really quality opposition for contests. I mean, the Rebels played a fantastic game and nearly pushed them all the way, and they still came away with a bonus point victory in that game, and that goes to show how quality the class is. They look like a side on a mission, really determined to really get that trophy back. And I think the previous two seasons, you could argue, there've been a little bit of a sense of complacency because they were back-to-back champions. So fair to say that I think that this game will probably see them continue. I do like the look of this Brumbies side. I reckon the Brumbies have really done a lot of work and good quality work this season. But as you alluded to, with the talent that they have. And the other one that I'm really excited about is a certain Eva Kapani, who starts for the first time this season. She's been coming off the bench. Wallaroo Player of the Year has been coming off the bench for the Waratahs. That tells you how much talent there is.
Well, it's a bit like, you know, your Taniela Tupou comes off the bench. Sometimes your trump card can be also effective in the latter stages, but also allows them to build into the season. There's clearly a lot of test matches ahead for the Wallaroos as well. So I think it's probably actually reasonable player management from the Tars. But you're right, that's a big bonus for them first up.
Yeah, I would like to just make one little final inclusion, which is there will be a few changes at the Brumbies. McCalman will be returning from injury, but I'd also like to shout out Siakapsi Palu, who makes a record. She'll become the first player to achieve 25 games for the Brumbies. So a small little milestone there. Congratulations. And as much as I, it would be really fantastic to see the Brumbies make the final to highlight how much their program is growing, I don't see them beating the Tars.
No, I think you're right. Okay, so both those games on Friday afternoon, 2:35 Australian Eastern Standard Time, followed by the Tars and the Brumbies in Sydney. Get along to it around if you're around. That's on at 5:45. Hey, thanks, Nick, for joining. Look forward to the podcast next week with Matt Tamua. Awesome to have Will Harrison join the podcast earlier this week. If you missed it, please check it out. And, of course, like, subscribe and review at Will. That'd be great. Until next time, that's it. Thanks very much.